do say so myself.
Of course, God made it, so it would be, wouldn't it? All right, I've got a few things I want to talk about this morning. And that's upside down. Okay. And the first one is the work day that Daryl mentioned when he was up here. And so I want to give you a little bit of background on that. A few of us were talking with the elders, and I encourage each of you to do that if you'd like to hear more about this, or if you just have something on your heart. They're great guys to talk to. But anyway, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking, and we were just really trying to figure out how to, I want to say, save the church here. I know those are really strong words, but I think strong words are needed sometimes. I don't know if y'all have paid attention to the budget or the contributions or just the general how things are going here, but it could definitely be better. We are going through a hard time as a congregation, as at this place, right? I don't know if y'all realize it, but we're struggling. And we need to do something about it. And so in my job, I'm a consultant, and I go into businesses and help them come up with solutions, come up with plans for how to get from where they are to where they want to be. And you go through this, or at least the way we go through this, is you start with a vision, right? You need to start with where do we want to be, right? Like, don't focus on the problem. Don't focus on, not first anyway, don't focus on, you know, this little thing and that little thing and these annoyances and stuff like that. Let's start with the vision. What do we want to be? Where do we want to go? So the elders have said that, and they said, the vision we have for this place is to serve our community. We want to use this location and the people here to serve our community. And so, the next part, after you've set that vision, is to come up with a roadmap. How do we get there? And so, there's a lot of steps in this. I'm not gonna say that workday is one and done, we're there, right? The workday on Saturday is the first step that we decided would be effective to start moving us toward that vision. And the reason we picked the workday is there is this building, this location, if we want to serve this community, right now, it's kind of an eyesore. I was out changing the sign, and one of our neighbors pulled up and stopped and asked if we could clean up an adjoining property line because it was getting so bad. So, and that's just the one that had the nerve to come to say something, right? We've also, I'm sure, noticed that the parking lot's getting overgrown. Sometimes it's treacherous for people to come, for older people to just get to the building. It's definitely not a welcoming place when you're just pulling into the parking lot. And so what we want to be able to do first is to fix that, right? We want to be able to turn this into a place that is a light in this community. And the first part is going to be to fix some of those issues, right? And so I'm kind of losing my notes here because I'm getting into the emotion of what I wanted to say, but let me get back to the details here so I don't miss anything. So we recognize this might be daunting. I was outside working in the yard yesterday for a few hours, and it was rough. It's hot out there. It's exhausting work. And some of that work out there is pretty exhausting that needs to be done. I've come out and tried to scrape some of those weeds out of the parking lot before, and it is tough in the best of times. And so if that seems daunting, if you're like, there's no way I can get out there and help with getting weeds out of the parking lot, we completely understand. There is a whole lot more that needs to be done. So it's not just that. We want, when people step inside that door, for it to be welcoming. We want people to come in and go, hey, they were ready for me when I showed up, right? And so some of that is in our classrooms. We want the children to come back, but when they get here, sometimes it doesn't seem like we're ready for them. So we want to prepare in advance and be ready for those children. So we want to straighten up the classrooms. We want to make sure that they know where to go. When you step in the door, I like to greet people, but honestly, there's one classroom down there to teach the kids. And if they're this big or this big, well, I don't know, go down there. Let's fix that. Let's have designated classrooms for different age groups. Let's prepare lessons in advance. I know it's hard to have a teacher that's always ready that doesn't necessarily have the students. That's a hard place to be. Let's just get the materials together, get them ready. That's something that anybody can work on. If you've ever tried to teach a child anything, if you've ever tried to teach anyone anything, this is something you can help with. Help us put together materials. Help us maybe decorate classrooms. Get those rooms ready so that when somebody steps in the door, we're ready for them. And anybody could go in, sit down with that material, and help teach those children. That's something that I think anybody could help with. But if that even seems too daunting, just be here. I don't know if you recognize, but just seeing your faces in those seats, just seeing you come to this building is a service to God. You're encouraging just by your presence. So even if you don't think you could do any of those things I listed, even if you don't think you could even come up with something on your own that you just don't know how to help, just being here will help. So I've got one more point on this topic, and then I'll move on to the regular lesson. And the last one I'd like to say is, you have friends, you have family, maybe neighbors that you occasionally reach out to and say, hey, I could use your help with something. I could use your help moving this couch, or I could use your help whatever it is. Changing the batteries in my smoke detector because I don't like getting on ladders anymore, so could you come over? Whoever those people are, I invite you to invite them to this workday. Let them know that you've got something near and dear to you that you need help with. Because we need help here, and we're not afraid to ask. We need help. So that we can use this place to help others. So invite others to come and help. Anybody who's willing, in whatever way they're willing to help. All right, now on to, as they say, our regular scheduled programming. All right, so I'm obviously preaching on service again this morning. I've preached on service a couple of times from up here. And one of those was how you serve. I preached a lesson, I think I titled it, and I don't even know if I told y'all what the title was, but it's not what you did, it's how you did it, right? And that's talking about, I'd preached a previous lesson as to why we're here, and then I taught that one as to how we're supposed to be doing things as we serve, how we're supposed to live in service. The other one I taught was about, it was near Veterans Day, and it was thank you for your service, right? And I talked a lot about just, hey, just being here is a service to others, kind of that point I made earlier, with a whole lot more, and a lot of parallels to military service with our Christian service. But strangely, in both of those lessons, I never got to this verse. And I'll read it again now. Colossians 3:15 through 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Sorry, I got to back up for a second because I just remembered while I was reading that something I forgot to say about the commercial. Tonight, we're having a quick Devo in here, and then we have the potluck that didn't get mentioned in announcements, and I think Daryl was giving me the eye to remind y'all that that's happening tonight. In addition to that, of course, I would still encourage anyone to come and join us in fellowship, but during that time, we're also hoping that we can continue this conversation about how each and every one of you can help on Saturday. From planning, I think we're going to try and plan for food in the morning, plan for food at lunch, just any way that we can get some of the details worked out this evening. I encourage y'all all to be here for the meal, and we'll also be working on that then. Okay, sorry. Back to this. So, all you do, or word or deed, that first half of verse 17 is a scripture that has been in my mind a lot in my Christian service, in my faith. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I've said that verse to myself. I've said that verse to people that have come to me struggling with all kinds of things, right? It could be students that are having trouble at school. It could be teachers who are having trouble with their kids that just don't seem to care. It could be people at a job where their boss is just unreasonable. It could be just a trying time in their life where they just think the world is against them, or they just don't know, with all of this stuff going on, just how can I even go forward? But I come back to this verse and I say, it doesn't matter. That word at the beginning there, whatever you do, if you're stuck in a bad job, if you're having this huge debt over you that you have to pay off and you're just like, I don't know how I can manage, if you're, whatever it is, whatever your struggle is, you can put that work to God. That work is to God if you're a Christian. So, we encourage others. Whatever might be demotivating you, just remember that you're not serving that person, you're not serving that company, or maybe it's even you're not getting along with your HOA and you don't want them to do the stuff that they're dictating. I don't know. I don't know what your struggles are, but whatever it is, you can personalize this, because it says, whatever you do, do it in the name of God, in the name of Lord Jesus. So, moving on. So that one's really easy to remember, but as I was working on this lesson, I found another scripture. It's a little harder to memorize, but I think it really strengthens this point. So that's in 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 13, if you'd like to follow along again. 1 Peter 2. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bondslaves of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only for those who are good and gentle, but also for those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor. If for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. That was a lot. Anybody follow all that? Let's break it up a little bit. All right, so of course at the beginning, submit yourself to whatever authority. You may not agree with the decisions that are being made. For instance, here, you might say that this workday isn't what I think we should do first, or that's not how I would do it, or I want to do it this way, or it's not about what we want. It says submit. Now, if we move down, servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only those who are good and gentle, but also those who are unreasonable. It's a hard passage to read. It's a hard passage to live. I don't know if it's just me, but I read that one and I go, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only those who are good and gentle, but also those who are unreasonable. I read that and I strangely thought of driving in traffic and getting cut off, right? Getting cut off in traffic. I was listening to the radio. One of the most annoying things, apparently, biggest pet peeves in this world, or at least this country, is people that don't drive well in traffic and do something that annoys you. And so I'm thinking about this in that context of that guy that just cut you off. And the immediate response for many people is be rude back, right? You're not going to be submissive to the guy that just cut you off. He was completely unreasonable in the way he swung out in front of you. He could not have been paying attention. This is just clearly not a nice person, so there's no reason that I should be nice back, right? No. Be submissive. Back off. Let him go. Because even in that, whatever you do in the name of Christ. Even backing off when somebody cuts you off, as opposed to tailgating him or whatever might have been the response you wanted to give, just that act of submission in that moment, that's what God wants you to do. But it's even more challenging than that, because the verse goes on. Or, sorry, that's reference back to the other verse. But what credit is there if when you sin you're harshly treated? So this is where it gets a little confusing, and at least for me reading it, reading verses 19 and 20. Just because of the way they structured the sentences, it's kind of hard for me to follow. But what they're really, I believe he's really saying here is, if you get punished when you do something wrong, well, you deserved that, or at least to an extent, right? That's justice. And so enduring discipline or enduring whatever that judgment was, that's what you're supposed to do. You're not getting any bonus points for being judged. However, if for the sake of God, you bear up, you suffer in one of these other circumstances, when you are unjustly done wrong to, or when you're unjustly made forced to do something that you don't think you should have to do, that God finds favor with. that you will be rewarded for. This is your act of service to God. This is the core of what it is to be a Christian. If you turn to Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26, you can follow along as I read. It's Matthew 16, 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds." Straight from the mouths of Jesus, or from the mouth of Jesus. Deny yourself, take up your cross. So he's, as I'm sure anyone who's read this verse has realized, that's metaphorical. But he's not expecting us to carry around a cross, though some people will put the emblem on and carry that with them as a reminder. What he's saying is that up until as much as Jesus did, that's expected of us. Jesus suffered and died on a cross, a horrid way to die, and horrible circumstances even before that. Wrongly accused, beaten, and then left to hang on a cross where he was mocked and scorned. And all of that. So for some of us, when you're in those situations, it's because you have to be. Jesus wasn't there because he had to be. At any point, he could have said, "Nope, I'm done." He could have called 10,000 angels. He told us, I didn't write down that verse, but he could have called 10,000 angels and just said, "I'm done with this world. They're not worth it." But he didn't. He went through all of that by choice. And now he's expecting us to go through whatever our trials are, all the way and up to death. Christ went to the garden praying to God, and I talked quite a bit about prayer last time I was up here, but he went to the garden and prayed to God, "If it be your will, let this pass from me." He knew it was going to be bad. He knew he was going to suffer. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. He still had to endure it. But if you read, it says, God sent an angel to strengthen him. Sometimes, no matter how much you want it to be a different way, the answer to that prayer is the strength to endure it. And even if that is the strength to endure death. I know that sentence sounds kind of weird, but sometimes that's what God grants us. I'm sorry, I'm thinking a lot about my parents in that. All right, so that's the first half of what I wanted to say. I only got 2 points to this lesson since I had that kind of long commercial. Normally I'll have three, but the second half of this is thankfulness. So if you go back to the verse that I started with in Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to read that again. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." One time he says, "Be thankful." "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." Three is pretty significant in the Bible. It's not very often that they, when they, and they really want to make a point, they do it three times. Three was quite significant. So how is it that we're to be thankful in these moments, thankful in these trials? How do you go to work thankful when you know it's going to be a terrible day? How do you go? Yesterday I was talking to my son about this. Even before I'd finished preparing all my notes for the lesson, he was helping me out in the yard, and he just really didn't want to. He was in a bad mood, probably with good reason. And I encouraged him and said, you may not want to do this for me. You may not want to do this for your mom right now. You may not see the value in what we're doing. But in everything that you do as a Christian, you're doing it for God. But then taking that even a step further, how do we do that thankfully? James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. It's the first place I noted that he tells us a little bit about how to be thankful in our troubles. So that's James 1, starting in 2. Considering it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So one of the things you can look at in those struggles and be thankful for is that it makes you more perfect. None of us are perfect. Clearly, if we were perfect, then we wouldn't have any trials. Everything would be easy. At least that's what you get here if you use the logic in my job. And so if you reverse the logic, basically it tells you here, if you let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So what he's saying is be joyful when you encounter trials, because it's helping you get closer to perfect. And once you no longer, and then if you reverse all that logic, once you no longer have anything left to improve on, then you'll no longer have to be tested. You'll no longer have, and the thought that came to mind when I was reading this is, if y'all remember that song you might have sang as a child, God's still working on me to make me what he wants to be. Y'all remember that one? That's what he's saying here. God's still working on you. God is giving you these trials to help you be a stronger Christian, to help you have stronger faith, maybe even to steer you back to realize that you have to rely on him, that you should come to him in prayer, ask for Christ, the Holy Spirit, to assist you in whatever those matters are. We're giving trials to help us become perfect and complete. And I think we can also be encouraged if we, at the same time, remember 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, if you want to flip over there. It's 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. It's another thing you can be thankful for. As you're facing these trials, as you're facing whatever it is that you're going through, know that God knows that you can endure it. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. The all-powerful, all-knowing God knows that whatever you're struggling with, you can get through. Because he will help you, he will find you, help you find a way to escape. Another way you can be thankful in these moments Philippians 4, verse 12 and 13 also tells us how we can be thankful. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. It may seem that whatever that struggle is too big for you. That might just be the reminder you needed to go to God and ask for his help. Because with him, we can endure anything. This is what we have to be thankful for. We have to be thankful that in those trials, we know that God is still working on us. That in those trials, God knows that we can make it through that. That means I must be pretty strong, right? Because if God has put all this in front of me, and he knows I can get through it, he's got a lot of faith. And also, we have thankfulness that in whatever that trial is, that God is bigger. God is greater than any of our trials, and that he can help us. Those are great things to be thankful for. We've got somebody on our side that's bigger than any of our problems. He has faith that we can get, or he knows that we can get through those problems, and that it's making us more perfect and complete. If you were singing I'd like to say real quick here, Rob always thanks us for doing the lessons as we came up here and help. But I'd like to really thank Rob today because he does a great job with the song selections. We give him sometimes really short notice to let him know what we're talking about, but he really seems to fit the songs really well to what we're trying to talk about. And sometimes it almost seems that he gets it so well that he's like in my head as I was like, wow, dude, like that song actually made some of my points better than I think I was going to. But I'd just like for you to look back at that song we were just singing on in 680. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When the Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and the answer will be yes, Lord, yes. You said you'd do it. Whatever that struggle was, whatever that trial was, it's God's will. And you already agreed. But not for us, not for our glory, for God's glory. Lord, I give you all the glory for all you've given me. You have filled my life until I overflow. I don't know if you recognize there, but when it says all you've given me, it doesn't just say the good stuff. It's not just the good stuff that we have to be thankful for. It's also the trials that allowed us to become stronger in our Christian faith. The trials and the things that we've had to endure so that we could be an encouragement to others, so that when they come to us and go, I'm struggling with this, you could honestly say, I know how you feel. Because there's no greater comfort than someone saying, I know how you feel when you're struggling. That, except maybe I'm praying for you. That was a pretty great comfort too. So, again, thanks Rob for the great song selections. And so now I'd just like to finish up by saying that if you've been fighting your trials, if you've been pushing back against them, not thankful, but angry, or maybe even questioning God to say, why, God, do I have to go through this? Or maybe even blaming him. You don't have to stay that way. It's possible to be thankful, even for somebody cutting you off in traffic. Well, that was untimely. Sorry about that. So, if you're struggling, I encourage you to let us know what those struggles are so that we can pray for you. I was struggling, and I came up and asked for prayers. And y'all prayed for me. And I was struggling, and I prayed to God that I would have, that he would help me in those struggles. And you know what? It got better. It wasn't anything that, like, that's not on me, right? It's not, I'm not saying that so that y'all go, oh, great job, Scott. No, that was God. God is great. Because I wasn't big enough to handle those struggles. But God was. And I'm thankful for that. Because it made my faith stronger. So I encourage you, whatever you're struggling in, let us know so that we can pray for you, so that we can encourage you to pray for yourself. And if you don't want to come forward, you can feel free to talk to the elders. Like I said, they're great guys to talk to. And that's what I have as we stand and sing.